This is a serious battle plan. The divine soul wants that the entire body should be permeated with them alone. No alien should even pass through the organs, God forbid. It's not just that the divine soul wants that most of the time, most of my life, I should be the boss. But I don't mind if from time to time a stranger comes by. If the animal soul takes a visit. No. Each one of them wants total exclusive balabatishkeit, as they say. Divine soul wants to be the soul master. The body should be filled only with her. And should be a soul expression of her personality. And no alien should pass through it. The above forms a general description of what is the plan, what is the desire of the divine soul connected to the body. He discussed it in general terms. Now, the Alter Rebbe turns to specifics. What exactly does the divine soul, in other words, which organs of the body does it want and desire to give expression to which particular faculty or garment of the soul? Yeah.
No. So, at the beginning, the fight is not equivalent. Why didn't you create them together?
Okay, you're asking a good question. I don't want to get into it at the moment. We'll discuss it another time. The Hainu, that is to say, now he discusses it specifically. Tlas, Meichin, Shabiraish. The three brains, the three sections of the brain which correspond to the three cognitive faculties in man. Chachma, Bina, Das, conception, conceptualization, and application. Yiyu, Mimulayi, Mechabacha, B'nefesh, Helikis. Would be permeated with the Chabad, with the three cognitive faculties, Chachma, Bina, Das, of the divine soul. Shehi, namely, this is, namely, Chachmas Hashem Ubinos, the discerning of Hashem and understanding. We discuss the cognitive faculties of the divine soul. Chachma, Bina, and Das, conception, conceptualization, and application. Since these are the cognitive faculties of the divine soul, what does the conception and the conceptualization consist of? Chachmas Hashem Ubinos. The contemplation and the meditation of Hashem, of godliness, of truth, of spirituality. To ponder and contemplate His unfathomable and infinite greatness through these two faculties. The divine soul desires that man should give birth through them, through these two faculties, al yedei hadas, by introducing the third intellectual faculty, das, application, man should give birth to hayira b'meichay u'pachad Hashem b'libay, to a sense of awe of Hashem in one's mind, and a fear of Hashem in one's heart. Because as the Alter Rebbe discussed in chapter 3, the intellectual faculties are the parents, so to speak, the father and the mother, that through the combination of Chachma, Bina, and Das, man gives birth and sprouts forth the emotional, personal relationship to Hashem, beginning with Yira and Pachad, with a sense of awe and fear. And furthermore, Va'avas Hashem, and a sense of love of Hashem, which is born of this contemplation and meditation. Ke'esh boyara b'libay kirisvei shalhevus. Burning in his heart like a flame, like fiery flashes. So this is what the divine soul wants. It wants that its intellectual faculties shall pervade and permeate man's mind and all aspects of his mind. so that man's mind and brain shall be totally permeated with Chachma, Bina, and Das of the Divine Soul. And as a result of this, man's heart and abode of emotions in the mind and in the heart shall become permeated and pervaded with the emotional and functional faculties of the Divine Soul, beginning with Yiran Ahava, awe and love. We all have in our consciousness the ability to experience awe and love, but the Divine Soul wants that its awe and its love shall be the awe and the love and the fear that permeate man's emotional life and man's inner heart experience. First an awe and a dread, a fear, and then a love, like a flame, like fiery flashes. Liyos nichsefa v'gam kol son nafsh, his soul shall thirst and pine, b'chasheko chveitza, with desire and longing, l'dafka bay bein seif baruch hu, to cleave to the blessed Ein Sof, b'chalev v'nefesh u'ma'it, with all his heart, all his soul, and all his might. May umka de liba shebechal hayamani. This love shall rise from the depth of the heart, that is, from the right ventricle, the seat of the Divine Soul, emotional faculties as mentioned above. The kind of love that the Divine Soul desires entails that the heart be inlaid with love from within. But not only that, it should be mole, it should be full with the love. The love should not only be inlaid, so to speak, metaphorically on the surface of the heart, but the entire space, metaphorically, of the heart shall be filled with love. And furthermore, v'gadush, it should be filled to overflowing. The love should not only fill the heart, but should fill it so much that it shall overflow it. Just as in a physical vessel, you can have water in a vessel, like the water in this cup presently, which inlays the vessel. The surface of the vessel is covered with water, but it's not filled with water. That's Teichei Ratzuf Ava. Furthermore, the Divine Soul wants it should be Malei, it should be filled with the love. And furthermore, you can have a cup filled with water, but it's not overflowing. It wants it should be V'gadush, it should be overflowed with love. What does it gain when it's V'gadush? Atcha Tispashit Gam L'chol Hasmali. The love would thus spread and extend also to the left part of the heart, to subdue the other side, to subdue the other realm. Yisoid hamayim harayim sheba, specifically the element of negative water in it, in the animal soul, in the sitra achira, shehi ataiva shemiklipas noig, meaning the lust emanating from klipas noig. As mentioned in chapter 1, the animal soul's element of water, because everything ultimately is a combination of the four elements of fire and water and air and earth. So the animal soul element of water gives rise to the lust, to the koyach hataiva, to the general drive and instinct to lust and desire and gravitate towards pleasure. It wants to have pleasure, it wants to be comfortable, it wants to be satiated and preserve itself in a very wonderful and comfortable manner. Now, the animal soul, lust, its taiva, is the klipa counterpart of the Divine Soul, spiritual and godly love and lust for spirituality and holiness. So the Divine Soul tense love of Hashem, which is not only inlaid within the heart, that not only fills the heart, but overflows the heart, it has the power to extend also to the left side and subdue the animalistic soul's taiva. So this is part of its battle plan. It doesn't only want to express itself. It wants to subdue also the sitra achira. It wants that its love should be so powerful that its intense longing for spirituality should affect even the nefesh ha-bahamas' taiva. That should also be subdued to the kedusha. And to the extent the Alter Rebbe continues, he wants l'shanayso l'havcha mitanuge elamaseh l'avas Hashem. He doesn't only want to subdue it. The Divine Soul strives to change and transform the taiva of the nefesh ha-bahamas, to change and transform the lust of the animalistic soul mitanuge elamaseh l'avas Hashem, from a lust for mundane pleasures, for this world's earthly pleasures to a love of Hashem. K'maisha kasuv, as the pasuk says, we say it every day in Krishma, it's in Parshas Vayeschanan, b'chol levavcha, you shall love Hashem v'hafza Hashem alakacha with all your heart. So our sages, Masechta Brachos, Daf Nadalad Amid Aleph, interpret this pasuk to mean v'shnei yitzarecha. You should love Hashem with both of your natures. Our sages derive this based on the use of the dual form of the word, levavcha instead of lipcha. It could have said b'chal lipcha, with all your heart. The fact that the pasuk uses two vases, b'chal levavcha, allows us to imply with all your hearts, plural. But man has only one heart. So therefore our sages interpret it with both of your yitzarim, both of your natures. That ultimately man's love towards truth, towards his creator, towards Hashem, should be with both of his natures. Not only with his good inclination, but also with his evil inclination. So the divine soul strives that the nefesh haba'amis should also come to love Hashem. It should become a colleague and a partner to the longing experience of the divine soul. And let's conclude this paragraph. V'hainu, this transformation of the animal soul's lust to a love of Hashem entails sheyale v'yavai v'yagia, rising to attain l'madregas ahava rabba v'chibi yaseira m'madregas ahava azakirisvesh, to attain the level of ahava rabba, abundant love, a love surpassing even the level of powerful love, like fiery flashes, which is mentioned above. It's a deeper level of love, an abundant love, through which man has the ability to transform even the love of the animal soul. It's this level of love, which is described in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, as Ahava B'Tanugim, a love which experiences delights, which means lis'aneg al Hashem. It is the experience of delight in godliness. Me'ein olam haba, that is a fourth state of the world to come. The experience of the world to come in which the soul has and experiences delight in godliness, a fourth state of it, is tasted and experienced when man experiences in this life an ava, but this type of ava b'tanugim, a delightful love. V'ha'einek, this delight is felt primarily b'mayah chachma v'seichel, in the mind containing wisdom and intelligence, hamis aneg ba'askolos Hashem v'yidiyase, which delights in perceiving and knowing Hashem, kifi asaga sichle v'chachmase, commensurate with the capacity of one's intelligence and wisdom. Every human being has his individual capacity of what he can understand and perceive. V'hu p'chinas hamayim v'zer, and this delight is the level of water and seed, which means erzaruah shebekdushas nefesh alikis, light that is sown in the holiness of the divine soul. Hamahapeches l'toiv es p'chinas hamayim shebenefesh abahamas. This spiritual water element of the divine soul, which is this extraordinary abundant love to Hashem, transforms to good the element of water in the animal soul, shemehem bo taivis tanuge elam hazem etchil, from which the lust for physical pleasure had previously arisen. In other words, the element of water in the animal soul, which has previously expressed itself as a desire for physical pleasures, is now transformed and expresses itself as a love towards Hashem, having been transformed by the love of the divine soul. And the Alter Rebbe concludes, "Ukamar shekasov beit tzchayim, shar nun peregimul b'shem hazayir." As is written in Eitz Chaim, Portal 50, Chapter 3, on the authority of the Zayar, "Shahara nepach liyos toiv gamar," that man has the ability to achieve that the evil of the animal soul be transformed and becomes perfect good, kimo yetzer toiv mamash, like the good inclination itself, mamish like the Yetzer Tov, b'hasir habgadim hatzayim imenu. When it is stripped, when the Yetzer Hara, when the evil soul is stripped from its unclean garments, what are its unclean garments? Shehem tanugei elam hazah, meaning the mundane pleasures shehu melubash behem, in which the Yetzer Hara has been clothed. So when this Yetzer, when this inclination is stripped from these unclean garments, from these mundane pleasures in which it has been clothed and manifested and through which it expressed itself, when these garments are stripped from it, so it remains essentially a character and a drive that can be transformed and become a vehicle and an instrument to express godliness, holiness, and spirituality. Which means that essentially, the nefesh ha-bahamis, the animalistic soul, is a soul that desires good. It desires things that are good for her, that make it comfortable and happy and content. However, living in a physical world, at the surface level, it seems that mundane pleasures that are hollow, that are purposeless, that is what's good. So therefore, the drive of the nefesh ha-bahamis is enclosed in these pleasures. But ultimately, these are garments that can be stripped. And when they are stripped, what are we left with? We're left with a drive that can be shifted either direction, that can be utilized. It's a two-way street. It can be utilized for destructive purposes. It can be utilized for constructive purposes. So when the divine soul experiences a deep love for Hashem, not just a plain, ardent, fiery love, but as he discusses on Ava B'Tanugim, where he has delight in godliness and delight in spirituality, where it becomes a geshmak thing, a wonderful, delightful, beautiful experience, this deeply affects even the character of the animalistic soul, refines it, elevates it, and educates it, it demonstrates to it that this is what's really good in life. This is what's really enjoyable in life. So then it puts on new garments instead of its previous garments, which were mundane, sometimes immoral lusts and drives that were hollow and purposeless. Now it becomes a force that strives and yearns and longs towards godliness and spirituality. You're asking that Alter Rebbe distinguishes stage A is the intellectual experience of the divine soul, stage B is the emotional experience of the divine soul in the right ventricle of the heart, where it experiences our love to God, to Hashem, in the right ventricle, and stage C is where it extends even to the left ventricle to transform the animalistic soul.
Wait,
first right,
and
then the left.
Then Ma'o to the left side. So what's the difference between the right? Again, I know you explained it. Let me go over again.
I do not want to elaborate it at length, because last week, the previous shiur, and I'll refer you to the last tape, we discussed at length in the beginning of Perikdas what is the meaning that the divine soul is connected to the right ventricle, and the spiritual meat and the meaning of the animal natural soul being connected to the left ventricle. The point being that the left ventricle is the source of the blood, which symbolizes the instinct for life, the beat for life. The right ventricle is connected to the oxygen, which symbolizes a more subtle and refined aspect of the soul. So therefore, as a continuation of this, Dr. Rebbe says there is that stage where the divine soul experiences a love in the right ventricle, but it's still a love that is relegated to the character of the divine soul, but the animal soul has not been changed or transformed. A person can sometimes tap in our life, we can tap in and access a yearning and love towards Hashem, but our animal soul still remains unchanged. And when that comes to the surface, we're taken over by another by another reality, by another realm. The real desire of the Nefesh HaLakis is not only that she should love Hashem, but furthermore that she should transform even the animalistic soul, even the left ventricle, which is the passion for life, which is the zest that the vital and natural soul has to live, to exist. That also should become godly and spiritual. Now, needless to say, not always does the divine soul get its way. Over here, the Alter Rebbe is describing not the reality of our life. It's describing what the godly soul in our life wants and desires. How much does it get its way? That depends upon us. Yeah. So last question, yeah.
I'm not sure if you felt this last week. The tiny goes over three Chabad and three aspects or areas of the brain in this chapter.
He says that there are three aspects of the brain corresponding to Chachma bin Adas. We didn't cover it last time. I mean, we discussed at length in the past what Chachma bin Adas is.
And
according to the teachings of Kabbalah and Chassidus, there are actually three physical aspects in the brain which correspond to Chachma bin Adas. In science also, yeah. It's on the right and on the left and the back. Yeah. And now the Alter Rebbe continues. V'chein, the divine soul further desires. We are holding page 28. The line beginning with the words Melubash Bahem. Six lines from the top. V'chein. The divine soul further desires V'chein, that shar kol hamidos shebelev, that all other emotions of the heart, shehein anfei hayira v'ha'ava, which are offshoots of fear and love, yiyu l'Hashem levadei, be dedicated solely to Hashem. Just as it desires that its experiences of Ava and Yir, the divine love and the divine awe, should be the attributes of love and awe that govern and permeate man's heart. So man's, the Jew's experience of love and awe should be what type of love and awe? Not love of the temporary, mundane reality. It wants that its love should be towards what's true in life, what's absolute in life, towards godliness, towards spirituality. And that is what its awe should be. This famous truth concerning all the other midas of the Nefesh HaLikis. There are seven emotional and functional attributes, which the Alter Rebbe discussed in the third chapter of Tanya, known in Hebrew as Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hayit, Yisayid, Malchus, as we discussed then at length. So just as it wants that its Ava and Yira should fill the body, also all its other emotional and functional attributes, which are offshoots and branches of Yira and Ava, as discussed there, should be directed solely to Hashem. So, till here, the Alter Rebbe discussed the godly soul's desire for becoming the master and the soul. Soul bal habayis over the mind of man and the heart of man. Now he goes and continues to speak of the divine soul desire to master all of the organs and limbs of the body. Also the entire faculty of speech that is in the mouth. And the thought that is in the mind. Yiyu mimulayim should be filled min levushei hamachshava v'hadibur shel nefesh HaLikis levad, should be filled exclusively with the divine soul's garments of thought and speech. Shehein, namely, machshavas Hashem v'teirasei, thoughts of Hashem and His Torah, liyay sichasei kal hayayim, in which he would speak all day, like pasik pumi megirsei mouth, never ceasing from study. As discussed in the earlier chapters, each one of the two souls possesses a whole range of attributes and faculties that make for a functioning persona. And generally, it possesses 10 faculties, internal attributes, and kaychis, as he calls them, 10 modes of potential experience and expression, 3 cognitive faculties, and 7 emotional attributes and functional attributes. In addition to that, the soul also has to express its personality. How does it express itself? Through thought, speech, and action. Thought is done in the mind, speech through the mouth, and action through other limbs of the body, whether it's the hands or the legs, and so on and so forth. Each one of the souls uses the same mind, the same mouth, and the same organs to express its inner identity. So the three instruments of machshava, dibra, maisa, of thought, speech, and action are defined as the garments of the soul. In other words, the mediums, the instruments which are clothes, so to speak, that express the inner character and personality of the soul. But although the faculties of machshava, dibra, maisa are identical, they both have the same brain and mouth and hands and legs at their disposal, the content which fills the thought, speech, and action is drastically different. So the divine soul wants that man's thought in his mind, his power of machshava, should be a medium to express what? To express solely and exclusively the personality of the divine soul. The instincts, the desire, the vision, the ambitions of the divine soul. The mouth of man, which is the organ of speech, should be a garment that is used exclusively to dress the divine soul. It should never be used as a garment for the animal soul. The animal soul should never find expression through the mouth. The mouth should be totally dedicated to reveal and bring to the fore the personality of the divine soul. The same is true concerning thought and speech. What is this indeed? What type of thought and mouth are what is a machshava and dibur that serves only as a garment of the nefesh elokis? So he says it's machshava connected to Torah and connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And further, v'koyach ha'maisa shebiyadav, the faculty of action vested in his hands, ushara machivarav, and the rest of his 248 organs, yiyeh b'maisa levat. This faculty of deed should be involved and engaged only in the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Shehu levush hashlishi shel nefesh elokis. This is the third of the garments of the divine soul. First of the garments is thought of Torah. Second of its garments is speech of Torah and mitzvahs. Third of its garments, of its levushim, is deed, maisa, implementation in one's organs. So the nefesh elokis wants that all the limbs and the organs of the body, beginning with the mind, the mouth, and hands and legs, and all of the 248 organs, which are the ones that implement the desires and convictions of man, should serve only as a medium and an expression to express the nefesh elokis. And since the nefesh elokis is a soul, which its whole identity and purpose is that it seeks to connect, to cleave with its Creator, so it desires that the body should serve as an expression to that continuous desire to connect and become fully linked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem. This is all one soul. But now there's another soul. And this soul has a whole other agenda, has another battle plan. So Taka, one soul has its perspective and its agenda. Till here he described what the nefesh elokis wants. It wants it, but not necessarily it gets it. Why doesn't it not necessarily get its way? Because there's another soul, and this is what he continues. Ach nefesh abahamis mea klippa, shemea klippa. But the animal soul derived from klippa, ritzayna lehepech mamash. Desire is the very opposite. The Alter Rebbe doesn't even specify what it desires. It just desires the very opposite. Everything mentioned above in the whole chapter, what exactly is the agenda, the destiny, the vision of the nefesh elokis? What does the nefesh elokis want out of life? What does it see as the best and fulfilling, most fulfilling way to live? Whatever that wants, the nefesh elokis, the nefesh abahamis wants exact the opposite. if you could compare the relationship between husband and wife to the Nefesh al-Kis and Nefesh al-Bahamas, yeah, maybe at times the husband acts like the Nefesh al-Bahamas and the woman.
Very good. Husband and wife are complementary, but they're not opposite.
Right. Yeah, of course. That was just a humorous remark. Huh? Depends which husband and wife. They're complementary, they're not opposites. I mean, sometimes, ultimately, as we'll see in a moment, the Nefesh al-Kis and Nefesh al-Bahamas at the deepest level are also not opposites. Yeah. Gemara says, Zachay Ezer Le Zachay Kenegda.
You spoke about where the Nefesh al-Bahamas gets its kind. It originates in...
One second. We want to know where the Nefesh al-Bahamas gets its source. If it's fighting the divine soul, where does it get? Who gives it its energy? Okay, one moment. We'll discuss that in the next line. So this is the Nefesh al-Bahamas' agenda. So the Nefesh al-Kis wants that her personality, her inner identity, and her garments, her ways how to express that. She wants that her identity should be the identity that fills man's life. So what should be our, from the Nefesh al-Kis's perspective, what does it desire? That man's day-to-day consciousness, how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive our environment, other people, the world around us, what our consciousness of life, it should be the consciousness of the Nefesh al-Kis, the attitudes of the Nefesh al-Kis. Man should have the perspective, the philosophy, ultimately the behavior of the Nefesh al-Kis. That's what it wants. And the entire body, at every moment of the day, it doesn't want any aliens, no strangers, no guests from the other soul. It wants exclusive dominion over the body of man and his whole inner identity. That means also that the physical limbs serve as implementers of the convictions of the divine soul. The Nefesh al-Bahamas has the very same agenda about herself. She is also a king, and she wants to capture the city. So constantly she is contriving schemes how to dominate man's life. And dominate it means both the inner character and the garments. That her personality, her state of consciousness, her perspective, vision, and destiny should be that inner consciousness that permeates and pervades man's character, outlook, and perspective. And man's organs and limbs shall be mediums and expressions, instruments through which the animal soul's character is being expressed. And the Alter Rebbe continues that all of this challenge and fight that the Nefesh al-Bahamas puts up in life is l'tovas ha'adam. It's ultimately for man's benefit. The question could be asked, why create such a situation? It's ridiculous. From the moment man is created, he is basically a two-souled creature. And the two souls have two distinct agendas. Why do this? So the Alter Rebbe says it's l'tayva sa'adam, it's for man's benefit. She is gabri alevi natschena. In order that he prevail over her, over the animal soul, and he vanquishes her. To vanquish her. K'mashal hazayna shebezayir HaKadosh. As in the parable of the immoral woman related in the Holy Zayir. In Zohar, in Parshas Truma, Daf Kuf Samach Gimel, the Zohar asks what you asked. Where does this animal soul come from? What is its purpose? What is its function? Of course, Hashem created it. But one of the axioms of Torah is that ultimately everything in the world, Kol Ma Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Olam LeBrayo El L'Chvayd, ultimately everything that was created in the world was created in order to express the glory, the harmony, the perfection of Hashem. That is the explanation indeed in the Alter Rebbe's teachings. One of the explanations. In Moshe Rabbeinu's words, Hashem hu Elokim, einoid milvadi, in Parshas Veschanan, there is none else beside Him, there is Him and there is none else beside Him. What does it mean, there is Him and there is none else beside Him? Bereishis bara Elokim shamayim v'aretz. Hashem created a world. So the answer is that Yeh created a world, but ultimately, the true purpose and function of every aspect of the universe and everything contained in the universe is to mirror and reflect and project something of the harmony, the absoluteness and the eternity of its creator. So it doesn't have an independent, separate character and identity. Rather, it's man's mission to reveal in every aspect of the world how it mirrors the harmony and perfection of Hashem. It comes to the Nefesh HaBahamas, it's also a creature. But what is its soul identity? To create a challenge, to be the antithesis that opposes and fights and obscures and conceals the whole identity and vision of the Nefesh HaLakis. So the Zohar gives the following parable. There was a king who had a son, and the son was a beautiful child, an intelligent child, a wonderful human being. And the king loved him very deeply. But nevertheless, he wanted to bring out and demonstrate the true inner moral strength of his son. That way, he felt the true potential of the son will be realized. He will maximize what his identity is really all about, and his relationship to the king will be so much more enhanced. So what did the king do? The Zohar says, he had a most charming and clever woman brought before him. And he explained to her that he wants to test the moral integrity of his son. So he says, I want you to go and do what you have to do. And he explained it to her in all of the details. And he explained to her the purpose of the test. But he said, when you go down there, you cannot tell him what the purpose is. If he knows that it's all coming from me, and so what's the whole point? You have to do what you have to do. And you have to exert every effort to seduce the crown prince. For the test, of course, to be valid, this woman has to present herself in her full charm and with all her abilities, physical, psychological, spiritual, emotional, in order that it should be a real test for the son. But at the very moment, in the depth of her heart, what does she want? Does she want that the son, the crown prince, should fall prey to her conniving or not? No. Because ultimately she's a servant of the king. Knows the king would be so much more happier if she fails in her mission. But the only way that the real strength and inner identity of the son can be brought out is if she's doing her mission with her full fervor and zealousness and him not knowing anything. So over here is the paradox. She really does not want, she doesn't want to really prevail. From his perspective, of course she wants to prevail. Really she wants that he should vanquish her. Why? First of all, it will make the king much more happy, and she will be rewarded much greater. This is the story of the Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaBahamas. Really, on a superficial level, not such a superficial level, there is a duality in man, there's a multiplicity in man. Man was created as a two-souled creature with a Nefesh HaLakis and a Nefesh HaBahamas that have two absolutely different perspectives and visions of beginning what life is, what reality is, what identity is. But really, the Nefesh HaBahamas was created by Hashem. It wasn't created by someone else. The same divine source, which is the source of the Neshama of the Nefesh HaLakis, that is the source that created the Nefesh HaBahamas. Imbued man with the Nefesh HaBahamas. Why? Because to give the human being the ability for his benefit to withstand the challenge and to demonstrate the true power of a soul, even in the midst of a challenge and an obstacle that threatens to compromise the integrity of the soul, that compromises to rob away the prince from his true aristocratic, prince-like identity. And nevertheless, in the midst of this battle and this challenge, man shall not fall hostage and prey to the temptation which seeks to rob him away from his inner identity, but rather shall rise up to the occasion and not lose his true inner identity, which is godly and divine. Chazal say that everything Hashem created in the world was created to express His glory. The human race, there's no question about it. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem. Man is beloved because he was created. B'Tzalem Elokim refers not necessarily to the Jew. That's the next stage in the Mishnah. Chaviv in Yisrael refers to every single human being who was created. B'Tzalem Elokim. Why? Because at the core of every soul and of every consciousness, there is a divine energy and a divine vitality. Even the Nefesh HaBahamas, the Nefesh HaBahamas of the non-Jew, which, if he is a righteous Gentile, comes from Klipas Noga. At the essence of Klipas Noga, there is a godly identity and a godly vitality that continuously gives it existence and energy and constitutes its inner identity, function, and design. And it can be sublimated, the Klippa can be sublimated by accessing what its inner divine potential is. So every single non-Jew was created B'Tzelem Elokim and has within him divine energy and a divine purpose why he exists or she exists, and ultimately whose purpose is also to live a life in accordance with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nech, with the seven Noahide laws, to make a world which is a better world and consistent with the Hashem's blueprint of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nech. So that's why even a non-Jew has that choice. Again, not to fall prey to the klipa element of his Nefesh HaBahamas, but rather to try and attempt to extract his true destiny and purpose. Okay, it's not the same soul of the Jew. It's not the same type of soul. But every person, even more than that, every creature, every existence contains in it divine soul, a nefesh. The Arizal writes that even stones have a nefesh. Like today, you know, modern physics, everything has energy and spiritual energy, divine energy. Yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah. One more question, yeah?
That the non-Jew who becomes a convert to Judaism, that before he may have been born or while he was in the womb, that was destined that he would become a Jew, therefore he does have a Jewish soul within him, even though while growing up he may not have realized.
You're asking a non-Jew who converts to Judaism, so even before he might have a Jewish soul within him, although he was unaware of it. You're right, the Chida, great sage of the 18th century, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai was his name. He writes in one of his Svarim that there's a famous Talmudic halachic expression is Geish and is Gayer, which means a convert that has converted. So he asked the question, why do you say convert that has converted? You should say a non-Jew that has converted. For example, we say Katan Shin is Gadol, a child who has become an adult, has become bar mitzvah. So we should say a non-Jew who has converted. So the Chida Taka says what you're saying. Chida writes that even prior to that, he was already born with a Jewish type of spark. And that is indeed what motivates him and what drives him to become a Jew.
Yeah.
That is why do certain people have this yearning, they want to become Jewish ultimately. I'm talking about a serious convert who really wants to become a Jew despite the difficulties and the trials and the problems that Judaism will introduce into his life. What does he need it for? Because ultimately that's who he is. So he can't escape it. If that's who you are, you could run away from it for a while, but ultimately that the inner voice is released. So that you're right about, yeah. Exactly, you want to know what he had, the Nefesh HaLukis he didn't have. So what did he have before? I don't know. What? Good, so that Nefesh HaBahamas from Klipas Noga, even if someone who doesn't convert can have. It's the Chnish Gershon is guy, the Chidah is trying to say something else. That he has already something of the Jewish type of soul. You know, you have to be a maven on a Shamus. I'm not a maven on that. Now, after the Alter Rebbe concluded discussing this perpetual struggle that exists in man between these two states of consciousness, between these two souls, each one having its agenda and its ambition. Now we come to the implementation of these two agendas. What does man now do? How does Taka 1 live his life? So the next three chapters will be dedicated to a description of three types of Jews, three categories that incorporate within themselves all Jews. Perik Yud, he will be discussing the tzaddik character, the righteous character, Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter, he will be discussing the other extreme, the Rasha character. And Perek Yud Beis, he will be discussing the Beinoni, who is indeed Taka, the hero of the Tanya Sefer Shel Beinonim, the Book of Ordinary Men, because these three characters are three role models, three examples of how they deal with this struggle. How do they indeed live their life based on the struggle?
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.